the voicemobile here at Tufts University, Medford. So I haven't been here for a while over the break, but I'm very happy to be here. A little bit nippy out there. If you're going out, you should put on the hat, the gloves, the scarf, all of that good stuff, and probably the long underwear. That's what I'm doing, and it helps. It definitely helps. So today, we're going to hear quite a bit of some new music, and also, because I wasn't here over Holocaust Remembrance Day, which was last Friday, the 27th, International Holocaust Remembrance Day. So I'll talk a little bit about that. I'll play something for Lord Rabbi Sacks when he was addressing the British Parliament on that very subject. And so that also was the anniversary of my mom's passing, her yahrzeit, as we say in Hebrew. And so I'll share a little bit about that. Also, the New Year of the Trees is coming up this Sunday night, and so I'll be sharing some things from Rav Avraham Sutton on that, and from some other folks. So just trying to get myself oriented here, and of course everything is set up for mics, which I don't want, so I need a few minutes to change the board. Let's see if we can get that going. Oh, okay, so... And, okay, that's not working yet. I'll have to figure out. All right, microphone one is good, but we want to get the CD players. So, all right, let me put some, well, I can't really put music on until I switch these. So, oh, I see what they've done. They got CD one and CD two over there. Let's see. Well, CD2 doesn't work, so we need to change that to CD3. It says jammed. No, you can't even, so there's only, All right, so we have one CD. All right, we'll put something on there. Oh, and I brought an empty case. That's just brilliant. Oh, dear. Must have left that in the car. All right, so we'll start off with something from a wonderful singer. Let's see. We'll get this turned on. Hope everybody's enjoying the sunshine. That's a very nice thing, right? We like our sunshine. All right. So, Oh, there I am. Okay. Let's see if we can get this going. Okay. We got that. There's a very strange picture for my show. I don't know where that came from. APC capacitors with extended shaft. I don't know what that's about. That is not the right picture for my show. Let's see. We need to... I wonder how you change that. I don't know. Well... All right, let's see. We'll get this. Let's see. Let's listen to the first cutoff of this. This is...
Hay mare mo mal karu vi me kullu maru.
Okay, let's see. Know your cell phone rights. Whether you're taking your cell phone with you on a walk or in your car or to a civil protest, you should know your legal rights. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that police must obtain a warrant to search a person's cell phone. However, a phone without a passcode can readily be searched by anybody holding it, and a Virginia court recently ruled that a defendant can be compelled to unlock a device that's protected only by a fingerprint sensor. So, consider using a key code password and setting your phone's screen to lock very quickly when no one is using it, particularly if you expect to be in a potentially volatile situation. While the police can't legally force you to unlock your phone, they can ask you to. And if you do that, you forfeited your rights. The correct answer to a cop's request to search you, your vehicle, or your phone is, "No, officer, I do not consent to a search. Thank you." Finally, remember that the police can always ask a judge for a search warrant. So, think carefully about what's stored on your phone, including photos, contacts, and app data. You can learn more about your rights from the Electronic Freedom Foundation on the web at EFF.org. Electronic Freedom Foundation. Public service message from the EFF and your freedom-loving friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Well, that's some information that's could be potentially very helpful if you're about to go out into a crowded situation. Unfortunately, there's so many things that go on these days, it's hard to know how to protect yourself other than staying home. And even that, there was the thing, a video of a woman in her home and a boulder crashing into her home. I mean, a huge, huge thing. And it's like, oh, my Lord. So, you know, how to protect yourself from life, essentially. One of the things some of us do is we start our day by thanking God that we actually woke up, because we consider sleep a 60th of death. And so waking up is really very special, and that you can get out of bed, you can stretch yourself, you can, you know, get yourself motivated and going, and, you know, all those things that we maybe take for granted. But each day, especially if you've ever had, you know, a surgery or an illness, you know, getting up is really very, very special. And if you have friends who are dealing with, or a family who are dealing with any kind of sickness or, you know, medical situations, you know that every minute is really precious. I have a friend now. She and her husband just were helped to move out of the Sharon area to Baltimore, and found out, unfortunately, both she and her husband ended up in the hospital. She got diagnosed with congestive heart failure, not a great diagnosis, and she suffered from so many other things. And her husband had bleeding on his leg, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, it's almost like Job, when will it stop? And you just don't know. You don't know what is going on. So you, all you can do is like pray for those people. And some of us say Psalms or Tehillim to try and send blessing. And of course, you know, we say that when you pray, your prayers are answered, maybe not in the way that you wanted, but they are. So anyhow, I'm trying to think of where I want to go next with all of this. So we just listened to the wonderful Ofer Chaza. This is from a CD called Yemenite Songs. She was a fabulous light in the world, and unfortunately she left us much, much too soon. She contracted AIDS at the time when nobody even knew what it was. Her husband had it, didn't tell her, and by the time they realized, it was too late to do anything. She performed here in Boston, I don't even remember what year, sometime in the 80s, and she came, I think it was to Night Stage, and I went to that show, and it was a revelation. She was so gorgeous. She was in full Yemenite costume, and at one point, she invited some of the men to join her on stage, where she taught them belly dancing. I mean, it was hysterical. It was just unbelievable. I got to visit with her. They had a trailer, a caravan out in the front of the venue, and I got to sit and hang out with her a little bit, and she was the sweetest. It was really a very special time. So I always love to play her gorgeous music. And the Yemenite community had to leave. I mean, had to get out. And she walked, literally walked from there to Israel to escape. They were not allowed to have instruments. So some of the instrumentation that you hear, it's like drums, oil drums. You take the oil drums and bang on them. And they made do with what they had. So, all right. So I had wanted to play some Shlomo, but I brought an empty CD case. Not great. It's in my car CD player. But we'll listen to something from of another very special artist. And then maybe I'll share a little bit about my mom, who has been gone now. I can't believe it, 3 years. All right, so let's see, we want a DJ mix. Let's see if we can get this to play.
כמו ירח מתמלא ומתרוקן, אתה קרב ומתרחק, אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך, ושוב בורח, שוב חוזר. אין יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך, כמו ירח מתמלא ומתרוקן.
זו כבר לא מוצאים, שמורים בלב שלי שנים, תמונות בין שקט בין מילים, לב שבור הופך שירים, שתיקה הופכת לה למנגינה. אהבה כזו כבר לא רואים, הולכים לאט ואוחזים ידיים בצידי השביל, כולם עוברים אוספים שברים, פיסות חיים, דמעות הופכות לשיר ומנגינה. כמו ירח מתמלא ומתרוקן, אתה קרב ומתרחק, אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך, ושוב בורח, שוב חוזר. אין יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך. כמו ירח מתמלא אתה קרב ומתרחק, אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך, ושוב בורח, שוב חוזר. אין יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך. אהבה כזו כבר לא מוצאים, שמורים בלב שלי שנים, תמונות בין שקט בין מילים, לב שבור הופך שירים, שתיקה הופכת לה למנגינה. אהבה כזו כבר לא רואים, הולכים לאט ואוחזים ידיים בצידי השביל, כולם עוברים אוספים שברים, פיסות חיים, דמעות הופכות לשיר ומנגינה. כמו ירח מתמלא ומתרוקן, אתה קרב ומתרחק, אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך, ושוב בורח, שוב חוזר. אין יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך. כמו ירח מתמלא ומתרוקן, אתה קרב ומתרחק, אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך, ושוב בורח, שוב חוזר. אין יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך. יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך. כמו ירח מתמלא ומתרוקן, אתה קרב ומתרחק, אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך, ושוב בורח, שוב חוזר. אין יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך.
Ah, so that is featuring Zahava Ben, who wrote that, A Love Like This. Oh, what a gorgeous voice. Unbelievable. So I have just discovered that the one other deck that I thought I had, now the CDs are not even going in. It's blocking it, so I can't get it in. I can't get it out. I'm like, ugh. How are you supposed to do a show using CDs? That's why I haven't been here. because it's just too difficult. All right, so let me talk a little bit about my mom. But let me get something else queued up to play on the one deck that I do have that's working. Ah! Let's see. So. Sorry, folks, it's just the only way I can do it. So, at least we'll have something ready to go. Let's see. We'll put on. Let's do number 10. That sounds good. All right. We've got that ready to go. And I'll have to try and figure out how to get that CD out of the player. All right. So my mom, Millie Rokeach, Mildred Adair Robbins, grew up in both New York and Pennsylvania. And she came from a very loving family. They practiced Reform style of Judaism, very devoted to their rabbi. They used to go to services all the time. When I was young, we used to drive to Pennsylvania from New York State and hang out with my grandmother, grandfather, my aunt Ruth, and my uncle Harold, and so we used to have some very good times. The drives there, though, like, were crazy, because sometimes it'd be in the winter, and I can remember some terrifying times on the road, but we somehow managed to make it through. So Mom went to college. That was a fairly rare thing at that point in time. For women to be going to college. She went to Penn State and graduated from there. And then as an adult, she went to my college, SUNY. She also went to Mohawk Valley in upstate New York, where she and my dad lived. She met my dad. My dad had come from Europe, had attended law school, and but he came from an Orthodox Hasidic background, so the family home in upstate New York was kind of conservadox. he got a job. That's how they moved to Utica. He got a job in the Hebrew school as the principal of the Hebrew school. So that's how Mom and he ended up in Utica, New York. And Mom was very active. They were both very public people. Dad read the Torah, led the high holiday services, blew shofar unbelievably well. Mom was president of Sisterhood and of Hadassah, wrote all kinds of wonderful programs for her friends whenever they were being installed or had a birthday or an event. She was just a bubbling, wonderful, friendly energy, and complimented my father. My father was not quite as outgoing, more of an intellectual, but they were both, you know, very public folks, so that really was an impact on me. And Mom just had a way about her that she drew people to her. She had lots of wonderful friends, and she was a great friend to many people. So I was remembering a couple of things. My sister came out. I did a little Zoom learning in her memory. This is one of the ways that women have of honoring a parent that has deceased. And so I shared a little bit about saying Tehillim, saying Psalms, which I spoke about earlier. That's one of the things that people do. And so it's just, you know, when you lose a parent, they are never really gone from you. They're not here physically. But like my sister and I both agree, when we look in the mirror, sometimes we see my grandmother, I see my mom, I see my aunt Ruth, and my sister Sharon also does, you know, see. It's just, and sometimes when you say things, you just feel them, you know, their presence or they're speaking through you. And in the beginning, it's a little bit strange, but you sort of say, oh, okay, you know, that's how it is. it's nice that they're still with you in a way. And as you access anything that they taught you or tried to teach you, you know, that comes up as well. So, you know, losing a parent is a very big change. And so if you're fortunate to have your parents still with you, try to take advantage of whatever it is that they can share with you or teach you. And, of course, express your love and appreciation for what they've given you. Of course, they've given you life. And recently in the news, we've heard a terrible situation where a mother obviously lost her mind and killed all three of her children. Just a terrible tragedy. So you don't know. I mean, apparently the hormone changes with postpartum for some people are just, you know, suicidal. And she did try to commit suicide, this poor soul. So none of us can know, and we're not in their shoes. And we have to be grateful for what we have. A friend of mine recently lost her father, and she went out to where the family was to be with them. And, you know, she's going through those changes, and she's going to do a learning next week, dedicated to the elevation and Aliyah for her father. We say that. So my other friend also recently lost her father. She's in this area also. He had a long illness, and she was very diligent and went to see him a lot and take care for him. Her mother passed not quite a year earlier. So, you know, I think we're at the age, some of us, where, you know, it just happens. I mean, my mother lived to 103, so by the time, you know, all of her friends of her age were gone. She was lucky to have young friends, so they were able to, you know, come and be with her. But, yeah, it's good to have friends of every age because... you don't know who's still going to be around when you're there or who you're going to be there for. So, all right. So it's WMFO Medford. This is The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. Happy to be back on the air, even though I'm struggling with the lack of decent equipment here. They promised me, but it hasn't happened. They haven't put the new CD players in. So... I apologize if there's a little bit delay in between because I only have one deck to use, but we'll deal with it. So we're going to listen to something from the marvelous Yitzhak Perlman. Thank you. So beautiful. That is, it's Huck Pearlman. It's called The American Album. And this was a composition called from three American pieces. It's with the Boston Symphony Orchestra with Seiji Ozawa conducting. And the piece is called Dedication, which, you know, I thought would be appropriate for my mom. So I want to share with you, if I can figure out how to get this to start where I want it. There's a speech from Rabbi Lord Sacks, but I can't. I want it to start at the beginning. Let's see. Auxiliary. Let's see if it's going to come up. Hopefully, this will work.
And I want to explain why. The greatest.
All right, that wasn't working. Let me try and get this. Ugh.
No one said stop. My lords, it pains.
I want to try this on another channel and see if I can get this to come over the airwaves like it's supposed to. Okay. This is. All right, here we go. Hopefully. It's still not working. Why isn't it working? Try this one more time.
Civilization faces is when it suffers collective amnesia. We forget how small beginnings lead to truly.
Okay, this is obviously not working. Sorry, folks. All right, can't do this. This was a speech that Rabbi Lord Sacks gave to the House of Lords about the disturbing trend of of anti-Semitism in the UK today. If you listen to the news at all, you know that anti-Semitism is on the rise all over Europe, Canada, and especially in Massachusetts, unfortunately. It's up like something like 43%, which is like ridiculous, off the charts. And, the whole thing is not to stay silent, not to, when you see things going on, you have to speak up, because if you don't, then it empowers the people who are doing the hatred and the hatred acts, the hateful acts. And so it's on each one of us. It's not a pretty thing. And the root of it, you know, it's hard to understand because generally speaking, there isn't any real logic to it. It's just like a blind hatred. There may be different aspects given to say why, but all those things, when they are taken away, that there's still the hatred there. And I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do about learning how to live on the planet with each other. It's something that we have to figure it out because this is where we live, and we'll have to figure out how to live with each other. So I have something here next. Let's see. Cecilia Bartoli from Shunt Dunmore. Just a minute, and I'll try to get that on for us.
Laisse-toi,
What a voice, huh? Cecilia Bartoli. And this is from Chant d'Amour, Mi Yung Sheng on piano. This is Melodie Française. And we were listening to Havanaise, which is a composition by Pauline Viardot. And this is from an album that she put out. Whoa, quite a voice. Okay, so, well, I may or may not have figured out how to get one other way to play. We'll find that out in a minute. But I did want to start to share a little bit about this holiday that's coming up, the holiday of the New Year of the Trees. Did you know that there was a New Year for the Trees? There is in our tradition. And Avraham Sutton had put out a wonderful book, which I don't know when I moved, I don't know what I did with it. I couldn't find it. But I was able to go online and find something that he did with an organization called CAV. And so I'll share a little bit of this. It says, man is a tree of the field. This is from Tu B'Shvat Kavanot, or Intentions, by Rabbi Avraham Sutton. We read in the Mishnah that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel disagree over whether Rosh Hashanah La'an, the New Year of the Trees, is on the first of the month of Shavat or the 15th thereof. We will explain the disagreement further on, but it is important, first of all, to ask why this holiday is celebrated in the middle of winter when there is... Okay, looks like... I thought I had this in the right order, but maybe not. Maybe I'm missing something. Let's see. The beginning of Nisan, which is also called Aviv, spring, when fruit trees bud with the first blossoms of spring. Indeed, that is exactly when we go out to the fields and bless Birkat Halanot, the blessing of the trees, on two species of fruit trees. According to Rashi, this is what the Talmud means when it asks why Shavat, which again is in the middle of winter, we're in it now, was chosen as a New Year of the Tree. Rashi explains the Talmud's answer that it is precisely at this point that the ground has become saturated with the rains of the new year. As a result, saraf, or sap, is beginning to rise up into and through the roots, which means that the fruit can now begin to bud. In other words, even though this is happening deep, deep underground, completely hidden from our eyes, it will not become apparent for at least another month and a half. New life is starting to come up through the roots, which will eventually manifest full-blown as blossoms, buds, and fruits. This is sufficient reason to establish either the first or the 15th of Shavat as the New Year of the Tree. Amazing. We will see below that this ties in exquisitely with why Beit Shammai rules that the first of Shavuot is Rosh Hashanah Le'alan, whereas Beit Hillel rules that it is the 15th. Basically, Beit Hillel consistently emphasizes the actual manifestation of a thing, Yetzirah Lapo'ol, bringing forth or coming forth into actuality, whereas Beit Shammai emphasizes the stage or stages before actual manifestation, Koach and Koach Sheba Koach, potential and potential of potential. Okay, so says, of course, there's no question that this includes all trees, even though the Tu B'Shvat Seder emphasizes fruits that grow on fruit-bearing trees. We must not miss the fact that all trees are included. Trees are amazing in so many ways. One way involves the process known as photosynthesis. In addition to these amazing physical properties, it is known that the system of 10 sephirot is called the tree of life. The highest sephira, Keter, embodies the will and desire of the infinite, Ein Sof. What the Zohar calls Rava Deravin, the will that includes all wills, the desire that encompasses all desires. Chachma and Bina, corresponding to the two hemispheres of the brain, embody the overall plan that is needed to bring the original will or desire to fruition. The next six sefirot, Chesed, Gevura, Teferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yisod, embody the different emotional and practical qualities needed to bring the desire and plan closer and closer to actuality. Malchut embodies the final product, the Chatzach Lapo'el, bringing forth to complete actualization of the entire system. It is known as well that man, humanity as a whole, and each individual, is also called a tree. This is hinted at in the verse, Ki ha-adam eitz hasadeh, for man is a tree of the field. It comes from Deuteronomy. Basically, according to Kabbalah, the image of a tree, like that of a building or any other complete system structure or gestalt, represents and is a metaphor for grasping the essential underlying building or a computer program. The main point is that creation is a holistic system wherein everything is interconnected. In addition, nothing in creation is static, and nothing happens by chance or by itself. There is order, design, meaning, and ultimate purpose in everything, and it is to our benefit to be aware of this to the greatest extent possible. I'm going to read that again. There is order, design, meaning, and ultimate purpose in everything, and it is to our benefit to be aware of this to the greatest extent possible. So, you know, there's a lot of mystical aspects to this, and, you know, it's okay if you didn't get all of it. It's just a taste, really. That's the idea, just a little taste, but it's very deep. And so in the Seder that developed out of the folks in Safat in Israel, has parts dealing with the different fruits of Israel, and it also deals with four cups of wine, and there's all kinds of wonderful meditations you can do. You can have wine that's all white with a little bit of red. You can have wine that's a little bit red with a little bit of white, and different, you know, four different aspects, alluding to the four different worlds. And so, anyway, it's just a wonderful practice. I'll be attending a Seder on Sunday night, which will be, you know, an hour's long with meditations and different people sharing different things. So I'm looking forward to that. If you have an opportunity to go to a Tu B'Shvat Seder, then, you know, lucky you. So just not quite the top of the hour here. I want to share a little song about a tree, about a pomegranate tree And this is a song I learned when I was young. So it goes like this. It's Harimon Anatan Arechon Miyam HaMelech V'yad Yirechon Miyam HaMelech V'yad Yirechon It's Harimon Anatan Arechon La 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 I lie, 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 lie. I lie, 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 lie.
A shooting star tonight, and I thought of you. You're trying to break into another world, the world I never knew. I always kind of wondered if you ever made it through. Seen a shooting star tonight, and I thought of you. Seen a shooting star tonight, and I thought of me. If I was still the same, if I ever became what you wanted me to be. Did I miss the mark, overstep the line that only you could see? Seen a shooting star tonight, and I thought of me. Listen to the engine, listen to the bell, as the last fire truck from hell goes rolling by, our good people I pray. It's the last temptation, the last account, last time you might hear the sermon on the mount, last radio's playing. Seen a shooting star tonight slip away. Tomorrow will be another day. Guess it's too late to say the things to you that you needed to hear me say. Seen a shooting star tonight slip away.
Mr. Dylan, Robert Dylan, yes, Robert Zimmerman. Now I lost the headphones. Boy, I don't know what goes on here. There we go. Oh, there's a short in that wire. That's what that is. Yep, there's definitely a short. I don't know, people must have pulled. Yep, when I hold on to this, I can hear my headphone and then I can't. All right, so I don't know.